AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Any minute now, we are expected to learn whether actors will hit the picket lines over higher pay in Hollywood. CBS's Carter Evans is in L.A.
Mehdi Barrachian has acted in more than a dozen TV shows, from NCIS New Orleans to Manifest.
I can't imagine letting go of wanting to tell stories.
But he says he's struggling just to pay the bills.
If you do want to survive as a middle-class actor in this industry, the way compensation is, you have to have a second job. We're asking for fair compensation.
If this happens, it'd be the first time actors and writers are on strike together since 1960. Secret Service still hasn't nabbed the person who smuggled cocaine into the White House. Here's CBS's Nicole Skenga.
The Secret Service compiled a list of several hundred people who may have accessed the area of the West Wing on July 2nd when the substance was first discovered. But no fingerprints could be found on the cocaine's packaging, and there was insufficient DNA for investigative comparisons.
No one was hurt after a suspected tornado ripped up homes near Chicago last night, but hundreds of flights were disrupted at O'Hare. Today, millions across the country are bracing for historic heat. CBS's Omar Villafranca.
The blistering heat stretches across the South, from Texas.
It's hotter and hotter every summertime.
To Southern California, where temps could top 113 degrees this weekend.
Relief today for women who may have access to more birth control soon. The FDA just approved the first over-the-counter pill. Kelly Blanchard runs Ibis Health.
What will be important for all of these over-the-counter methods is that they are affordable and covered by insurance.
O-pill will be available at pharmacies early next year. Meantime, there's a new program that's offering free COVID vaccines. CBS's Christopher Cruz.
The Department of Health and Human Services says the plan is designed to make sure that people can get the vaccines and treatments they need, even if they're uninsured or underinsured. The free shots will be available starting in the fall. The $1.1 billion program is a public-private partnership that will allow people to get vaccines at their pharmacy and at community health centers.
An NFL player is thanking the people who saved him. CBS's Jennifer Clark has the story.
It was an emotional night for Buffalo Bills player DeMar Hamlin. He presented the Bills training staff with the Pat Tillman Award for Service at the ESPY Awards last night and was brought to tears.
Please welcome the training staff of the Buffalo Bills.
DeMar cried as the first responders who saved his life took the stage. Hamlin collapsed on the field back in January from a cardiac arrest after sustaining a hit to the chest during a game against the Bengals.
This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If this were a Reese's TV ad, you'd be staring at a Reese's peanut butter cup. And sure, my voice is peanut buttery smooth, but still, you need to see the peanut butter cups, right? No? I can really just say Reese's and you'll go get some? Okay, Reese's. 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 Really working, actually. Reese's. Reese's. This, I'm on to something. Reese's. Reese's. Reese's.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
These fires in Alberta, they're just this very narrow jet stream, just bringing all that kind of smoke down.
What it does is those sunsets and sunrises.
Yeah.
I mean, you've just got this massive deep red disc up in the sky. It's like you're in a Star Wars, you know, movie or something like that.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Which makes sense when you look at the Civic Media lineup. I mean, we really look like the Cantina Bar as far as all the characters.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in central Wisconsin. Adams County will hold their Administrative and Finance Committee meeting at 9 a.m. Friday, July 14th. The meeting will be at the Adams County Courthouse in County Boardroom A230. You can meet William Carberg tonight at the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center. The grand opening of his solo art exhibit is tonight from 5:30 to 7:30. There's no cost to enter and it's open to the public. Mr. Carberg's comprehensive exhibit of unique artwork includes sculptures from machine parts and fabricated steel, jewelry from formed sterling silver, mixed media watercolors, 2 and 3D art, and more. The exhibit runs through August 18th. The 6 and 4 Raptors take on the 4 and 6 Dock Spiders tonight at Witter Field. This is the start of a 2-game series against Fond du Lac. Tonight's game starts at 6:05, Fridays at 6:35. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI, Civic Media News.
Hi, I'm Mandy Roberts, financial advisor with Thrivent. I'm here to help you assess your finances and find solutions to meet your needs. Let's ensure you have a strategy for success. To get started, call 715-470-1303. That's 715-470-1303.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Partly cloudy tonight with a chance for scattered thunderstorms. Lows level off around 60. Winds out of the southwest, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms likely. Daytime highs approaching 86. Partly cloudy skies. Tomorrow night, chance for scattered storms. Lows around 61. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 74.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Midday Magazine for this July 13th, 2023. Have your host, James J. Mailoff here. At 3:30, we're to welcome in Laura Huber, 4-H educator with UW-Madison Extension Wood County. Right now in studio, we have with the production, the summer youth production. Am I getting that right, Gretchen?
Yes.
Okay. We have Gretchen Powers, director of Willy Wonka. Good morning. Good afternoon, Gretchen.
Good afternoon.
I just keep messing that up. The audience knows we're recording in the morning, but I'm trying to get this down where I say afternoon more often, and I'm never going to get it unless I just, you know, do it more and more. So thanks for being here, Gretchen. Always good to see you. And we have with us Willy Wonka himself, Brandon Winter.
Good afternoon.
Brandon, good to see you. Thanks for being here, man.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here.
I am so happy to talk about this. And actually, I think that while I mucked up that beginning and that intro, and we record these things, so I really want to re-record this, I'm not going to. We're going to keep moving forward because that's live radio and that's live theater. That's how it works. You don't get second takes. So we're just going to keep moving here. It does give us an opportunity to mention that there are two separate youth productions going on. There is Hopo Productions, and then there is the Summer Youth, Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater Summer Youth Productions.
Yep, so Wisconsin Rapids Community Youth Theater, it created this two different play programs. Like, there's two shows, but they're all under the community theater, but Hopo is a separate little fast-paced workshop that my friend Stephanie and I created 11 years ago, I think. But but yeah, so this one is more intense, 6 weeks long, usually something a little bit more complex than the shows that are done. And yeah, but still both a very fun production for all the kids. And the next one that we're doing is an original play by my friend Ryan Houston, and it's called Toasted.
Yeah, and we're looking forward to having the cast on from that and talking more about it. Mm-hmm. But since we're into this, Gretchen, if you don't mind, I think it's really cool to have these different layers, these different levels of this for, you know, actors that are younger and maybe they've never been on stage before. Hopo is such a really wonderful intro to it and everything. And not to say that this isn't, but this sounds like it's a little bit more for your kids that have been on the stage a number of times already.
Not completely.
Not completely.
No, actually, I think that mine is actually geared more towards the younger children, but the nice thing is that the people that are in, like, the parts of Willy Wonka, the parents, the grandparents, they're all the seasoned actors, but then the children are getting a chance to be the stars. Like, I have 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds, 10-year-olds playing the lead children, and they're all doing fantastic. They're very hard. They have a lot of monologues and big words to memorize, and it's complicated, and it's a lot of moving pieces and stuff, but they have more time to work on it, and I think that's the big where it hits the best. And the other one, it is geared, it's just, they're both great for youth, and you get the older kids who are going on to be great actors and some kids who just want to do it for a fun summer thing. It's also nice. Oh, the Hopo Show is less of a time commitment. So people mm-hmm. who do sports and camps and stuff like yeah. that, who are very active and don't have time to do the full 6-week commitment, mm-hmm. that might be better for them.
We've got a lot of kids in this area, too. It's mm-hmm. nice to give them, you know, especially this time of year, something to do that's productive and fun. And not a lot of, I know growing up, I would have killed for something like this. They'd have been sick of me by the time I was old enough to be on the WRCT stage, because I'd have been in these shows every chance I got. It's such a cool opportunity. All of that being said, and everything you prefaced with this show, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, why this show?
Well, I wanted to do something bigger, and I'm going to just correct you one more time so that I don't, like...
Please do.
This one is Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah. Why, what did I say? Willy Wonka? Did I say... Well, in my defense, you got Willy Wonka sitting in front of me here, so...
So I'm only going to just say that is because there are... It's that was the book, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. And so Willy Wonka is actually what the 1973 film yes. was done with Gene Wilder. Roald Dahl, the writer of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, hated Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah.
And so he didn't even want to approve the movie. That's why they mm-hmm. had to change the name to Willy Wonka.
Yeah.
That's why I'm being picky and silly. But so, anyway, back to the question
the show,
that you
why
asked
the show?
Me.
Why this particular show?
So we've been doing a lot of fairy tales and, you know, like the Walking Dwarves last year and everything. And I wanted something that was like a big name. Mm-hmm. Like I've been wanting to do a children's musical forever. And so this is kind of like a good project to start to show that maybe that someday we could handle something like a musical. And I was going through the scripts at the theater and I'm like, what could we do? What could we do? And then Charlie just like popped out on me. And it's actually kind of funny because I was going through all that and it was February 1st. And then if you read the script, the golden ticket, it says, show up here on February 1st mm. to tour the Chocolate Factory.
Right, right.
And I was like, wow, it's like,
oh,
it's meant to be.
The fates have lined you up
yes,
for this. Yeah,
it's perfect. I took a picture of it and I sent it to Ryan, my assistant, and he just laughed. So
mm-hmm. that's cool. And it just tells you this was meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to the show, let's touch on the details and we'll wrap up with the details as well. When are their performances?
Their performances are July 21st at 7:00. That's a Friday. And then July 22nd at 2:00. That's a Saturday.
It's nice to offer the matinee to listeners and to our great community that supports our theater so well. So it's nice to have that. And it's fun for the kids. I like them being able to have that experience of a night show and an afternoon show and getting that those feelings of that.
Yep, they're going to get to experience a really late show because this show is going to probably be about 2 hours long, so it'll be 9:00 by the time they're rolling out of the theater and still having some of their day left on Saturday to relax. And
will there be an intermission?
There is an intermission. It's 15 yeah. minutes. And we are also doing a 50-50 raffle at intermission, as well as the children are currently doing a fundraiser to try to raise money for, like, next year's costumes and everything. They're putting together raffle baskets, so there will be special raffle baskets to be raffled off.
Yeah.
So they'll be announcing winners at intermission.
We love raffles in this area. That's great. It doesn't even matter what you're giving away. Just the people here raffle. Oh, let me be a part of that. So I'll get some tickets for that. That's yeah. awesome. And we love raffles specifically that help out local in supporting local. That's
yeah.
fantastic. That's fun.
And the really cool thing is that the parents are just ready to jump on opportunities to help out and volunteer. I had, there's 50 kids in this mm-hmm. show, 51 actually.
Yeah.
And the number of parents who have come forward and said, I can help backstage, I can help with this. And then I actually had a group of parents say, let's do a fundraiser and all this, and we'll help head it, and we'll take care of all that for you. So the parents have just been awesome. Normally, like, they're the hardest part.
Yeah. A big shout out to all of them. A mm-hmm. big thank you to all of them for doing this and supporting not only their kids, but the theater and really local. And what we do here at this station, supporting local, all that. Brandon, time to put you on the spot. I mean, ask yeah. you questions. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good.
I'm excited for the show.
Yeah.
It's looking good.
Brandon, taking on a character like Willy Wonka, no matter what age you are, that's a big kind of like thing to do, to walk into. But a lot of people, when you're going for these auditions, I think that's an outsider perspective. I think for a lot of us, when we're looking at these roles, when we're auditioning for them, we don't look at them as big, small, necessarily that. It's this spoke to me for some reason. Why did you audition for this particular role?
I auditioned for Willy Wonka because it's such a kind of, it's a it's a big thing. Mm-hmm. I love just getting the experience out, and I feel that a lot of the character, because I have some experience in acting before, and I feel like Willy Wonka is such a different character than everything else that I've ever really done. Mm-hmm. I love just going around and just getting the different types of characters that I could. Mm-hmm. And Willy Wonka is like, it's a silly character. He has a lot of history. It's a lot to like work off of and build up from. So I just, it's a new experience. Mm-hmm. I think that's why I just picked Willy Wonka specifically.
Good enough.
Good enough. Good enough reason for Gene Wilder to do it. So yeah, that's a pretty good answer, kid. That's nicely done by you. That's pretty much what Gene Wilder said about playing the part. That very nice answer. What kind of, we understand memorizing your lines, learning your blocking. What other kind of techniques or what other things did you do to get this character down?
I have a kind of, it's not really a motto. I have a strategy of just taking things piece by piece, like working on a scene until it's done and then just moving on to the next. Because I think that if you work on it all at once, then it kind of all gets mixed up. You lose it all in the shuffle. But if you take it a piece at a time and you build it up over and over and over again, then like once you get scene one done, then you never have to worry about that ever again. And then you can like look back on that and use that for the rest of your scene. So I said this line a certain way back in scene one, so I'll do something similar out in scene like three or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that's, I feel, kind of just my strategy for everything. And memorization as well. Just getting the stuff out of the way and just as piecemeal as I can. Mm-hmm.
Oh, very good. That's great to hear, man. I couldn't agree with you more. I actually think that that's a really good technique to, approach to most things in life. It certainly works for squirrels. I mean, they can't grab all those nuts at once. They grab one at a time and they're all set up for winter and everything. You break things down, it's simpler and it's a lot easier to take in and not so daunting sometimes. I think that can be the case with a lot of actors. No matter what age you are, you get these big roles and you're trying to take one big bite. You take these little bites little by little and it really all adds up anyway. It's a nice technique. I like that. That works. Also shows how much you care about this, that you want this performance to be so strong. How do you bleed that into your co-stars, to your other actors, and rise them up?
Just bringing energy into it. Mm-hmm. If you just get so excited and you're like moving around and you're pointing at things and you just inject your emotions into your just voice and performance, then you're going to get all of your other actors just up and ready for it as well.
And the kids really need that. Like, I can, like, he's a leader. Like, I could just tell at his audition that he was going to help lead this show. And I'm sure he's probably not used to the little kids and everything like that. And I'm sure it's probably really annoying to him that I have to stop and start. Because there's children there. And I have to, like, and it's usually right in the middle of his monologue that I get an idea. So I'm like, Brandon, I'm going to stop you there. And he leads the kids to, like, well, this is where you react by like just gesturing on stage or changing his voice. And I think it really helps the kids open up.
Without getting too into the weeds here, Gretchen, because I think it's more of a personal thing and I don't like to pry too much into that. But I do think it's interesting when it comes to casting a kids show as opposed to casting almost anything else. With this, you really do. Yeah, you want to cast the best people for the roles, but you want all these kids to get a part. You want to get everybody included. I know you well enough to know that you got one of the best hearts I know. You care about these kids and what this is going on here. So you want everybody to have a part, everybody to have a place. But you also got a job to do. And you want to make sure to give a great production. How do you balance that?
Well, and it's hard because a lot of them are, everybody who was under the age of like 8, mm-hmm. this is their first show, mm-hmm. or 9 or 10, they're all underdogs. They all have never done this before. Mm-hmm. I really kind of based my audition off of how strong I feel like they were as far as confidence and willingness to try. Because mm-hmm. even if they didn't read that great, I knew that they had the will to do that. But I saw that a little bit in everyone, but some of them were just quite young and weren't quite there yet, or others were just you know, some kids came to auditions and didn't want to read. That was flat out, and that's okay, because they don't all have to have speaking parts. And I think I've made it so that everybody has a line, even if they didn't want a line. I convinced one girl who just did not want to speak to have one really hilarious line that she's excited to do now. And so it's taking the kids who've been doing it for years, and maybe they didn't get a lead part, but that's because they're needed to bring strength to the Oompa Loompas or something, because they also are a very important part. And it's not like the movie with Gene Wilder where they just sing the song. They actually do the poem from the book, and we do it to a rap, and it's so cool. My friend Ben Chedek, he wrote some music to put underneath it to make it a lot easier for them to rap to. And he also wrote me elevator music, and it's really funny because they're in the elevator, and it's to the tune of the Oompa Loompa song.
Oh, okay.
Even though we can't use that song for the thing. It's just really cheesy, and it's adorable. And it made me smile so much when he brought it forth to me.
Shout out to Ben. And be sure to catch Ben in any of his 100 bands that he's in. He'll be on the air with us soon, I'm sure. He always is. And Ben joins us at least a couple times a year. We love whenever he does. And that's awesome that he did that. And I'm glad you brought that up, because it speaks to so many community members giving of their time to put into this.
Yeah.
That we have every year, every show has something like this, some members like that.
Yep. And then, like, I've got another girl who plays one of the parents. She doesn't have a ton of lines, but she's a fantastic actress, Rose Paul. But I also know where her ability lies, and that's with dance. And so she is our choreographer for we have some kids that do some little dances in the show, and she took her time to choreograph our dances for us too. So I mean, it's like I'm taking the kids and using their strengths where they are, and really just helping them hone their skills
like a great director does. What has the rehearsal process been like? How often have you guys been able to get together?
We practice Monday through Thursday from 6 to 8. This week we did something a little different, where I had some small groups come in early so that they could practice some things that needed some work. The Oompa Loompas tie-dyed their shirts for their costumes, and so we had a tie-dyeing party, and then each of the kids actually got a pizza party when they practiced their own separate group and had a lot of fun. But yeah, mostly just Monday through Thursday, 6 to 8. Next week is Tech Week, so we'll likely go till 8:30, because there's things we need to scene changes, I tell you.
Yeah.
But
as a side note, we need to start doing that on the main stage productions, the tie-dye parties. We need to, for no reason, just because it seems fun. We should be doing that. Team building, that's what we'll call it, team building. Brandon, I wanted to ask you, because one of the purposes of these interviews is certainly first and foremost promoting WRCT, getting you guys out there and letting people know about these amazing performances and shows. But to people like Gretchen and I, and a lot of us, we also know that theater is such a welcoming, open place. And we love building up young people. We love building courage and confidence in you guys. One of the things that I do on the side is teach at Second City. And every couple semesters, we have attorneys or doctors join. And they're not trying to become, you know, comedians or anything. They're trying to get, like, with the doctor that I had a couple of, probably a year ago, he wanted to get better at bedside manner. We've had attorneys who are not comfortable speaking in front of people, so they'll take our classes to be able to do that. I always love these kind of added bonuses to doing something like this. For every kid that just loves to get on that stage and perform, we like to encourage people to do these shows as well because of other reasons. Have you found that it's helped you with your confidence at all? Has it built you up that at all? Have you seen it in your other co-stars, some confidence rising in that?
Oh, yeah, completely. Just going through these shows has... Even like when I just first started, it just gave me so much confidence, even in my everyday life, to just having that, just working in front of a crowd. Like, nothing seems, like, after you've performed a big scary monologue in front of a crowd of maybe 100 people, nothing else seems that scary anymore.
Right? Yeah. That's a great point. And there's so many other little things that are added that you learn in skill sets you can fine tune or even grow and get better at with when it comes to acting, when it comes to performing. And that could be behind stage, that could be on stage, it could be a bunch of lines, no lines, just one line, all of this. You can, you know, gain all of these things that Brandon's talking about through that. Just love to encourage people, everybody, young, old, everybody, to get involved with WRCT, get involved with your local community theater. It's not only a lot of fun, but you find that you grow in so much as a person with so many of these things. And you're supporting local, which is always something that most of us feel very good about doing. Gretchen, with this show in particular, how has it been different directing this one than it has been from other projects, especially you just got done doing a main stage production?
Right. It's a lot different than directing things like The Odd Couple. Like, you have actors who've been doing that, or even the inexperienced adult actors, they're easier to direct than children. It's not that children are that hard. It's just that they're different. They learn differently. And it's not so much about character development. It's not so much about being over dramatic or under dramatic. It's doing it. It's mm-hmm. getting, we're not going to get Broadway, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. We're going to get really close because they are really amazing. But I focus more on what can we accomplish? How big can we make this with making, not traumatizing them.
Yeah. It's always a good idea. That's a good point. It's a solid point right there. I think it's interesting too to have the kids there. And so I'm watching a kids show, and I'm not just taking in the great performances and the wonderful job that these kids always do. And I've never seen a bad youth production. I've never ever seen anything like that. They always do such a great job, but. In the back of my head, with the way that I watch these things and dissect everything, I'm always giving like these little shout outs and high fives to the director because I know how hard that is and how much difficult that job is with people like me. I can't imagine with kids how it could be as far as rounding that up and everything and to be able to put on a show just to get those curtains open, I think is an accomplishment, let alone what the show actually is.
Yeah. And there's so many different social groups in that. You got the little 8-year-olds who are afraid to be away from their mom. You've got the 14 and 50-year-olds who probably would be rather sitting at home on their phones or whatever, but they're doing something that's great. But it's reaching them and talking to them at their level so that they get out of it what they need to. I feel like some of these kids use it for a outlet to get rid of stress because mm-hmm. they're going through a lot. It might create more stress because there's a million people talking all at once, but they're getting fun out of it. One thing I also did was I created parts to make it so that all the kids that auditioned could be included. Mm-hmm. I had 12 8-year-olds who had never done this before who auditioned, and so I created a Candy Kid ensemble that's not in the script, and they are doing like scene change dances, and they open up the show with cute little they have one-liner words and stuff like that, but they all get to dress in a different color of the rainbow and be all sparkly and cute, and anything they do is going to be adorable no matter what level of talent they have.
Well said. And details like that are part of the reason why we love doing these interviews. See, I don't think a lot of us would have known that otherwise if you hadn't shared that with us just now. And I think that really speaks to a lot of what we're talking about here is encouraging people to take in these shows, but also encouraging them to be a part of these shows mm-hmm. and future shows, to audition, to volunteer. It speaks to everybody getting a part, but how important that is. It's not just something that directors are saying. They look at what Gretchen did to make that happen. That's impressive. That's very cool and creatively very impressive.
Yeah, not many shows are written with the idea to have as big of a cast as this, unless you're doing a big musical or something like that. I love big productions. I love lots of color.
Yeah, you do.
And we've done what we could with our budget to do really a really cool set, and parents have really helped again with that. And there are those parents again.
Was It's a Wonderful Life your first show you directed?
It was my first main stage show. Actually, to be honest with you, my very first children's show I directed was in 2005 when I directed my original show that I wrote, Thumbelina, and there were 44 kids in that.
See, you only do big productions.
I don't like little.
Yeah.
I think I had a cast of 10 once, and it was fun, but I was like, where's the random crash in the middle of the scene, because we don't have that.
Right.
Not chaotic enough. Please, chaos.
I asked Brandon this, and I have the same question for you as we're wrapping up and before we get to the details of the show again. When we like to encourage people to be a part of the productions and these shows, again, everything from youth stuff to main stage to the Silver Foxes to all the great things going on with WRCT, what is some of the things that you give for encouraging people to do this, of reasons why they should?
I think that there's so many layers of what theater can give you confidence, you know, a creative outlet to let your own emotions out, or even just something to, like, not every kid's a soccer player, not everybody can play softball. Mm-hmm. They find their thing, and then we're not going to have great theater if we don't have in the future if we don't have children's theater. Mm-hmm. It starts young. I mean, some people started it when they're like 30 years old and do great, but you're not going to have a strong love of it if you don't start it early. Mm-hmm. In general. So mm-hmm. One thing I would love to do in the next couple of years is to really strengthen the youth theater, get it back going, do really big things, and get kids wanting to come back every year. Mm-hmm. My first show was when I was 7 or 8 years old. I played a mouse in Cinderella with no lines, and I had loved it ever since. So, I mean, you start small and you grow, and I want those kids are going to someday be us.
Yeah. Well said. And I just got a picture in my head of you as a mouse at that age. It was great. It was awesome. Brandon, as we're wrapping up, one more important big question for you. Is there anybody you want to say hi to? I told you, it was a tough one. It's a sticker.
That
it's
is a tough question. One. That is actually, I might not.
Okay, all right, that's fine.
I want to say hi to your mom.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Hi, Becky. Yeah. She's awesome. She's a great artist, and she's actually doing some painting for us. Like the scene where we have to do the giant chocolate bar that goes, the Mike TV one. She's actually painting our giant chocolate bar for us to make it look just like a Wonka.
I'll shout her out too.
She's a great mom, a great stage mom.
Appreciate all these parents, even the ones that haven't been able to maybe volunteer with the show are still getting their kids the rehearsals and everything, and we appreciate them doing that, and everybody a part of this production. Gretchen, as we're wrapping up, what are the details of the show? When can people see it?
We'll be performing July 21st at 7 o'clock and July 22nd at 2 o'clock, and you can get your tickets at wrctheater.org. Mm-hmm. And they're selling fast right now, and our first night's performance, there are less tickets than there are kids in the show.
I was going to encourage, I checked it before we got here, our recording, and like, yeah, those things are going quick.
Stop from buying them. We want you to see it. I think that the majority of the parents and grandparents have bought their tickets, so that don't feel like you have to not come because you're wanting kids to have their families come.
It's a good point.
Good time for the community theater to get or come and see us.
Get your tickets at wrctheater.org, or you can get them right there at the front door when you come in. Go ahead and meet us over at the beautiful WRCT Theater for this show. You two have a good time, break a leg, enjoy yourselves, and please tell everybody a part of the production. We're wishing them well.
Thank you.
We'll be back with more Midday Magazine coming up right here on WFHR.
Living happily ever after isn't always a reality. If you're over 50 and are considering divorce, attorney Andrea Gage with the Everson Law Firm can provide the guidance you need. Andrea focuses on silver divorces, the kind that get more complicated over time and present unique challenges. A family, multiple properties, significant assets. Andrea and the team at Everson Law have the experience to protect your interests. Call Everson Law to set up an appointment with Andrea today. It's never too late to be happy. Everson Law, 920-435-3734. Locally grown, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. But did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in Central Wisconsin. The Wisconsin State Patrol says speeding is a growing problem in our state, but this time it ended in death. Here's Brittany Merlot with the story.
A man was found dead and several arrested in a Taylor County car racing crash. 21-year-old Ethan M. Berry was found dead and his passenger severely injured on Tuesday night. Taylor County sheriffs were called to Harper Drive in the town of Rib Lake. Officials say Berry was driving at a high speed, racing another car, when he lost control around a curve.
The number of over 100-mile-per-hour citations issued by the State Patrol rose sharply during the pandemic. They issued over 500 in 2019. In 2020, that number grew to over 1,400. Last year, Wisconsin State Patrol issued over 1,100 citations to drivers exceeding speeds over 100 miles per hour. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI, Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. partly cloudy tonight with a chance for scattered thunderstorms. Lows level off around 60. Winds out of the southwest 5 to 10 miles per hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms likely. Daytime highs approaching 86. Partly cloudy skies. Tomorrow night, chance for scattered storms. Lows around 61. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 74.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this July 13th, 2023. 3:30 on your clock. Got your host, James, behind the mic, and I am joined by our great friend, Laura Huber, 4-H educator with UW-Madison Extension, Wood County. Good afternoon, Laura.
Hi, James. It's great to be back again.
Good to see you. How have you been?
Pretty good. Pretty busy, but pretty good.
Yeah, I imagine.
It's been an exciting time in 4-H land.
Let's dive right into it, Laura. We've got some great upcoming events that we want to touch on. What's first?
So I just want to bring up, we have one event coming up next week, Thursday, but there's still time for folks to sign up. But before I talk about that, let me just make it clear that all of the programs that we're calling 4-H programs are open to all youth in the community, mm-hmm. regardless of 4-H membership. They just need to basically qualify, if you will, by being in the right age range. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if they've never been to a 4-H thing before, if they're members of Boy Scouts or Boys and Girls Club, excellent. Come on in if the event sounds interesting and fun to you. Mm-hmm. So
it's a great idea, and it's a great way of getting everybody involved, and especially for people to be able to kind of put their foot in the water a little bit and see, well, is 4-H for me or not? And I guarantee almost all of these kids are going to love it. They just give them a chance to get their feet in the water a little on this. That's awesome.
You bet. And it's just a matter of, you know what, we want to do what's best for young people in the community. And if one of the things that youth are really interested in is something like a tour of the fire department, a tour of the sheriff's department, to see what happens at Wood County Dispatch, mm-hmm. then maybe next week, Thursday's Cloverbud Camp mm-hmm. is for them. So in 4-H, Cloverbuds are youth from kindergarten, first and second grade. This camp that's next Thursday, boy, what is the date? I'm sorry. It's July 20th. Yeah. So Thursday, July 20th is when this camp is. Okay. So if they're, even if they were in third grade last year and this is something that interests them, by all means, sign up. Because what we're going to be doing is we're going to be meeting first over at the Wisconsin Rapids Fire Station number one. If you've never walked through a fire department and seen young kids check out those fire trucks, I mean, it is really something.
Worth the price of admission alone. It's free, but you know what I mean? It's worth it showing up just for that alone. As soon as you said that, the first real field trip I remember was going to the Chicago Fire Department's building. And it's like I'm back there. As soon as you said that, it was like I was 7 again.
Yeah.
And I was back walking through that place and everything. It's so cool.
Yeah.
It's a great experience for kids, but like a lot of things with 4-H, there's also that added kind of bonus stuff. And to me, that kids getting to see people who, grown adults, volunteering and being a part of something like that, it putting back into the community like that, that has an impact on kids. That reaches them.
You bet. This is all, our Cloverbud programs this summer are really about that behind the scenes. Let's see our community helpers. Let's get to know them. Mm-hmm. And there's many reasons. Not only because, you know, these are important people to the community mm-hmm. that really help us, but, you know, sometimes, whether we like it or not, that can be frightening to kids.
Yeah.
If you see a police officer or a sheriff's deputy with a gun on their hip, mm-hmm. that can be scary. If somebody is actually in a fire and then all of a sudden a fireman comes in full protective gear, mm-hmm. that can be terrifying to kids. So that's another one of the reasons that we do this, is so that those young kids can start to understand that there's just a real person below all of that equipment, and they are absolutely there to help. And when we can put that friendly personal face on firemen, on police officers, on sheriff's deputies, that's a critically important lesson for those young kids to learn.
We, Sheriff Becker and I, off air, on air, talk about this almost every time he's in with us. And one of the things him and I really wanted to do with our segment when he joins us once a month is certainly get all the information out that he has and all these very important details, but also in this era of keyboard cowards, showing the human behind the badge, showing the human being there, and building that bridge better. Because I don't,
regardless of how you feel or whatever, your feelings don't deserve to be put on children. Mm-hmm. And every kid deserves to feel confident going to a firefighter, going to a police officer, going to a sheriff, and building that relationship. The more comfortable they feel, the more they see these people without the gear, maybe, or those, the less intimidating it is, the more comfortable they feel doing that, going to them. And
right.
And here's hoping that they don't need to go to it, but if they ever needed to, boy, is this stuff great to have in place. It's really insightful, Laura.
Exactly. I really, you know, I'm a little older. I am of the generation that grew up watching Fred Rogers on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And one of the things that he was known to say is, like, when there is a time of crisis, look around and look for the helpers. Mm-hmm. And I want to be sure that our kids can look around and not see a crowd of strangers, but see who are the helpers, who are the people that they can trust. And so, you know, if you look at some 4-H activities just on the surface, it just, like, you know, oh, look, they're going to go out and they're going to have some fun. Mm-hmm. But there are real important life lessons yeah. behind every one of these things that we do.
Shout out to Mr. Rogers. That's such a good show. Such a good show. I love that show. This event, Laura, is there anything else you wanted to touch on with this?
Yeah. So after the fire station, then we're going to go to the courthouse and we're going to be able to visit with deputies from the sheriff's department. Cool. We're going to be able to take a look inside of, you know, law enforcement vehicles. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that we're going to be able to meet a canine. One of the officers was working on that for us, but I'm not sure where
we'll see.
But then also a tour of dispatch. So what happens when you call 911? Who are you talking to? It's not just a voice behind the screen. How is it that they can help you? Those dispatchers will be able to tell the kids important information that they should be able to communicate. You know, when 911 started, everybody had landlines. Yeah. And now we have a lot of cell phones out there. So what difference does that make? What lessons do our kids need to know so that if they ever need to call 911, they know what happens next?
Yeah.
And then last but not least with that one, then they're going to have lunch with us and we're going to make first aid kits. So those kids will be able to go out and they're going to be able to be helpers, too.
Oh, so. I love this. Yeah. I love this event. It's such a cool idea. Yeah. It speaks to everything we've already touched on, but the other part of this too. I don't know. I think kids are empathetic creatures and human beings. We all start out that way, I think. But I think some of that stuff gets, you know, fades a little bit, maybe. Any chance to show more empathy and create more empathy for our kids, to have some more understanding of what it is to call a dispatcher or what it is to be a firefighter and those things, that's details. That's data that they're collecting. Because the brain, we all know the brains are sponges. They're just collecting data. That's important data that hopefully creates a little more empathy in our children and our youth. And that's never a bad thing.
Never a bad thing. Hmm. And, you know, we always go back to these principles of 4-H. And one of them is also building independence. So
yes.
Here we go. And we go and we meet all of these community helpers. And I also want these kids to go away with, you know what? And if there ever is an emergency, I can do some things myself.
Yes.
I can pick up the phone and call 911. If I have a friend who gets hurt, or if I stumble down and I scrape my knee, mm-hmm. I can do something to help myself as well. So again, it might just seem like a fun event on the surface, but there are some real important things happening through the fun activities.
Mm-hmm. What do you have next?
Well, I'm just going to say, any of these activities that we talk about today, if you'd like more information, if you'd like to sign up, you can give us a phone call at the Extension office. And that phone number is 715-421-8439.
We'll be sure to get that number out again before we wrap up. Laura Huber, 4-H educator with UW Extension. And Laura, what do you have next coming up?
Well, so the next program that we have is for kids that are a little bit older.
Mm.
So I think today we have a really hard time letting our kids be bored. But say 9-10 years ago, there was a little boy named Kane in California, and he had to spend every day at his dad's auto parts shop, and it was boring.
Mm.
And so he took all the cardboard shipping boxes that his dad was getting, and he built an arcade game.
Oh, whoa.
And then, you know, he just kept building. And this all stems from boredom. And then he kept building. He ended up with 5 different arcade games made of cardboard.
Wow.
And then he had passes and all of this great stuff so that people would come in and play them. And one of those days, lo and behold, a documentarian came in.
Mm.
And he made a documentary on Kane's Cardboard Arcade. So that is the inspiration for our next program.
Oh, cool.
It's Cardboard Camp.
Oh.
And so this is going to be a four-day program. Mm. 3 days imagining, designing, and building arcade games out of cardboard. And literally, I don't have plans for this. This mm-hmm. is going to be like, okay, kids, what do you want to do?
Yeah.
Let's build it. Those 3 days Ooh. Are going to be at the courthouse. And then on day four, we're going to take our games down to the downtown farmers market so that we can welcome the public oh. to come and play the games.
I cannot wait for this. I wish this was tomorrow. That's so
right?
awesome. Oh, is that a great idea?
So I'm loving it. And so this one, kids ages 10 and up. And in some of the advertising, we're saying through eighth grade. But you know what? Sometimes we need those older kids.
Yeah.
To have somebody for the young ones to look up to, mm-hmm. to share the ideas, to share the excitement. So I'll welcome anybody for this
one.
That's
nice. That's cool.
And so this program's going to run from 11 until 2:30 each day, at okay. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday at the courthouse. And then we'll be down at the farmer's market from about 8:30 until noon. So this is July 24th through the 27th. So not next week, but the week after.
Mm-hmm.
And I am just so excited for this.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things, like sometimes it's super exciting to know what the end product is going to be.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's just really cool to watch what kids can create from their own imaginations. And the thing is kids could do this at home.
Mm-hmm.
But as parents, so often we're so concerned about the mess. Like, oh my gosh, what do you do yeah. now? Like, I just cleaned the house and mm-hmm. all the things that come after. You know what, friends? I don't care about the cardboard shavings. I don't care about the wads of tape or whatever mm-hmm. else. Like, this is what it's all about. This is going to be our creation station. Super excited.
That's very cool. Offering parents a chance for their kids to get messy without them having to clean up is always a great idea.
Right?
Well done by you. But you hit on something that I think is really cool about this, and I think it could be said for almost everything that you guys do. We've heard the phrase many times in life, it's about the journey, not the destination.
Mm-hmm.
So much of this is about the building process, the creative process, the collaborating and working with other kids in different age ranges or even classmates sometimes and out of a school setting and building that kind of and again coming back to the things of building in children
mm-hmm.
Cooperation and collaboration are going to be some of your best friends the older you get.
Absolutely.
Very few people work in an industry or work in a job where they're just by themselves all day. You've got to be able to work with others. You've got to be able to collaborate, and any chance to grow on those skill sets is really cool for kids to be able to do. You also mentioned younger kids with older kids. That's always a great dynamic. We both know, I'm sure, and everybody out there listening knows what that's like when an older kid took a moment to acknowledge you, let alone, you know, be nice to you.
Wow,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like, I must really be something if that older kid is paying attention
yeah,
to me.
Yeah,
you bet.
It means a lot. And again, another one of those side wonderful things about this.
Mm-hmm.
Do people need to have supplies or anything that they bring to this? Do they need to register?
Registration is a yes.
Okay.
But if you were to walk into my office right now and see my collection of cardboard, I'm not quite sure what you would say about me, because anytime I heard that somebody got a new washing machine or a new whatever, new lawn furniture, I was like, oh my gosh, did it come in boxes? Can I have the boxes? So I have been so looking forward to this that I have been a little bit wild about the cardboard collection here for a few months.
Do people even see you in your office anymore? Or is it just cardboard? Is it just that's all they see in there is cardboard?
Do I have to answer this question?
No. That's fantastic. I think another reason why we love talking with you and Jasmine, and we love talking about 4-H, it's forever been such a great institution for our young people and mm-hmm. all of these great reasons. But it's that passion. I always come back to this with you guys. You get me excited about these events and everything.
Yeah.
And not that I wouldn't be otherwise, but you get me that much more into it. And I can't imagine what it's like for these kids working with you guys and stuff. Big shout out to you and Jasmine. Do great work.
Well, I appreciate that. And I have to say, like, I wish that all of my job could be this, because when you're in a role like this, you find out that yes, there's the planning and all of that kind of stuff, and sometimes it gets really draining. Mm-hmm. But then when I get the opportunity to work with just wonderful young people, it refills my cup. It really does. So just this is an aside, but middle schoolers really get a bad rap. Okay. And and I just got to spend 3 days with middle schoolers on a bus trip down to southeastern Wisconsin. And while some people would go like, oh my gosh, you must be so exhausted.
Yeah,
they were wonderful. Yeah. And it's those things that make me go like, oh yeah, I can deal with all the bad days at work because I am going to have these days where I get to work with amazing young people. And for the record, I just want to make it clear that all young people really are welcome. So on that trip, we have young people that have mental health struggles, that have physical struggles, that have all of those things. And you know what? Bring them on. They are welcome in this space with us. We want them there. We want everybody just to really be able to be the most, the best that they can be. And so if that's a question that you have, you go like, oh, you know what? This sounds like a program that my grandkid would really like. Oh, but boy, that kid can be so naughty sometimes. You know what? That's okay.
Yeah.
It really is. When you get in different environments and you're working with different people, sometimes they have more struggles, sometimes they have fewer. But I don't ever want that, like, oh my gosh, my kid did that one thing and they were so naughty there, they're never going to go anywhere. No, please, please don't do that. Please, please bring them in. They are welcome. I want to see what they can do. I want to work with them. And if you have concerns about their success, then give me a phone call.
Sure.
Because I have ways that, you know, I can work with people and help them succeed. And if I have a heads up that there are specific struggles or things like that, then that just makes it easier for me to be successful, making those children successful.
It's something that 4-H has promoted for a very long time. And I love any chance to bring this up because I think, you know, I know when we were first talking, a couple of mine, my oldest friend, they have a son who's autistic. And they were hearing our interview and they thought it was really cool and sounded like a lot of fun and it would fit him perfectly, but they held back because, well, he has autism. And, and I told them right away, I was like, well, no, that's something that Laura and the gang, they want kids like this. They we want all kids to come on down. Any chance we can bring that up, I think, is really noteworthy. Thank you for that, Laura. And
you
thank
bet.
You for doing that. And to the organization of 4-H that does that across the country. We're special and we have a very unique and special 4-H here, but I want to make sure that that's highlighted. 4-H is just great around the whole country that does that kind of work.
You bet. I mean, right? Kids are going to be adults. They are going to be a part of society someday. And so whatever we can do to help them feel like they have a place, like they belong and whatever, like we are going to do that because ultimately the experience they have as young people is going to lead to their success as adults. So
one more time, the details of that event before we get to the next.
Yeah. So Cardboard Camp is going to be July 24th through the 27th right here in Wisconsin Rapids. The Monday through Wednesday will be held 11 to 2:30 in the courthouse. And then on Thursday, we will be at the downtown farmers market from 8:30 until 12:30. So folks can come and play the games we created. That's and again, so if you want more information, if you want to register, give a call to our office.
Laura, you said you had a couple of events. Do we got one more here?
Yeah. So, okay. The next one is called Outdoor Adventure Camp.
Ooh.
And this one's not until August.
Okay.
But, like, this is me going back to my roots and then some. Okay?
Yeah, I love it. All right. I'm already intrigued.
And we mentioned that that middle school travel trip that we just took. And on that trip, we had middle school age kids who got a chance to catch their very first fish ever in their whole life. Outdoor Adventure Camp is going to be that and then some.
Cool.
So we'll be at Dexter County Campground. Well, not at the campground, I'm sorry, but we'll be at Dexter County Park.
Yeah.
And at that event, we're going to have archery. So kids will be able to shoot bows and arrows. We're going to have fishing. And that's in partnership actually with the DNR. So we will have fishing rods provided. Kids do not have to come with that equipment. We're going to be renting canoes from Northward Pedal and Paddle. So kids are going to be able to go canoeing. They're going to be able to learn how to build a campfire, and they're going to be able to cook over that campfire. So all of these, I don't know, maybe you call them camp type things, maybe you call them outdoor skills, whatever you want to call it. This is for, again, kids about 10 years old and up. And it'll be all day. We've got incredible volunteers there. Hey, if there are parents that want to come and experience some of those things, they're welcome to come as well. They're not required, but they're welcome to come because all of these things really are activities that families can do together mm-hmm. for a lifetime. We're not going to be playing football that, you know, you have a limited lifespan on.
Yeah.
These are things that you can basically enjoy from cradle to the grave. Mm-hmm. And this is one that we've opened up to our friends up in Marathon County, too. I've found that some of these multi-county experiences really are fun. And then we have kids participating in more events throughout mm-hmm. the year because they want to see their friends from other counties come back again. So it might be ulterior motive, awesome. But it works.
Well, that's really cool. Oh, I love that.
So, yeah.
And it, especially with, you know, a lot of the advancements we have with technology and stuff nowadays, these relationships that get built, they can actually withstand. They can, you know, find ways to communicate and stuff and keep being friends. And
you bet.
I love that. I love that. That's really cool. This event sounds like all these events are created by you and your team, and you mm-hmm. guys do an amazing job with that. This one feels, if you don't mind, a little personal.
Yeah.
A little full circle for you.
Absolutely. So my background is wildlife biology. I used to work for the DNR. And one of the things that inspired me, and okay, let's get personal. I am one of three kids, mm-hmm. two girls and a boy. Mm-hmm. Growing up, my brother was the only one who was put through hunter safety. Like, it was just assumed that girls wouldn't do these things. So when I was in college, I took hunter ed for my first time.
Right on.
Then after college, I got certified to teach hunter education.
Nice.
My exposure first to things that I still do now, like canoeing and kayaking, mm-hmm. came through Girl Scouts. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know the importance of getting exposed to these really cool opportunities.
Yeah.
They don't always happen in the family circle.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just wanted to be able to give. Does it sound silly for me to say give back? But that's what it feels like to me.
I'm at the age where I don't care if things sound corny anymore.
Yeah.
If I believe it, I'm just going to say it. And,
yeah.
and I felt you believe that.
Yeah.
I don't care if that was corny or not.
Yeah.
I believe that you believe it. And that's all that matters. When it comes for that, I think that there's that part of it, too, where it's great for the adults.
Mm-hmm.
It's great for the parents, too, seeing their kids doing these activities, seeing these kids being able to thrive in these situations or just experience these situations.
Yeah.
Rightfully so, we focus on the kids.
Mm-hmm.
But as parents, we know how good it feels to see your children succeeding or trying something new or enjoying themselves or any of the above. And my kids are in their 20s, and I still get that rush when they tell me they're trying this or they're doing this or what have you.
It
never fades.
Yeah.
So there's that part of it, too, that I think is kind of cool and unique part of this whole of the 4-H experience.
Sometimes I think as parents, it's easy, or even grandparents, for us to look at our kids and go like, oh, they're too young for that.
Mm.
They're too little to do that. They wouldn't be able to. And then all of the sudden you can see, oh, my gosh, you know what? They really can man that canoe without mm-hmm. an adult doing everything. Wow. Wow, they really can take a fish off the hook without me being the person to do that for them. Oh my, look at how safe they can be around a fire when they've gotten some good instruction, right? Like, I think it's so important for us to give credit to where credit is due,
mm-hmm.
to challenge young people so that they can rise to the occasion, and as adults for us to step back and allow them to rise to that occasion.
Ooh. That's such a key part of it, too, that last part, which is not always easy to do as mm-hmm. a parent or as just an adult. It's in a lot of our instincts to reach down, to help, to do that, and to be defensive. Or in our defense, it is how they are, you know, brought into this world, us taking care of them and everything.
Yes.
We're used to doing that.
Yes.
But there comes a point where you got to take your hands off the wheel a little bit. You got to,
mm-hmm.
you know, let them do their take over. And that is something that they are in a safe environment doing at 4-H.
That's exactly right. So not only do we have caring staff, we also have caring adult volunteers that are there, that are like they're cheerleaders, yes, but they're also the risk management folks. They're mm-hmm. watching mm-hmm. for anything that could be problematic so your kids are safe.
And we do, before we wrap up, and I did want to mention volunteering and encourage mm-hmm. people to volunteer. If you're able to, we greatly appreciate you doing that. Laura, let's go over one the details of this last event one more time before we give people the information on how they can get a hold of you and register.
Perfect. So Outdoor Adventure Day is going to be August 14th at Dexter County Park. We'll be down there from 9 in the morning until 3:30 in the afternoon. Youth need to be age 10 or older. And they're welcome to bring equipment if they have it, but otherwise everything will be provided. Registration is required because we're serving lunch. Mm-hmm. We need a good count. Mm-hmm. So for all of these programs, for more information or to register, give us a call at the Extension office. The phone number is 715-421-8439, or you can always email me. And my email is Laura, L-A-U-R-A, dot Huber, H-U-B as in boy, E-R, dot WISC, that's W-I-S-C, dot E-D-U.
Always great seeing you and talking with you, Laura. Please say hi to everybody over there, your team, and you guys keep up the great work. We'll talk soon.
Thanks so much for having me, James.
We'll have more Midday Magazine for you tomorrow right here at WFHR.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Actors are set to strike at midnight in Hollywood, joining writers for the biggest joint walkout since 1960. SAG-AFTRA President Fran Drescher.
This is a very big deal, and it weighed heavy on us. But at some point, you have to say, no, we're not going to take this anymore.